Tyler's actually been the quiet one this time.
Salt and pepper's here.
All right, we're opening with that. It's the Nerdcast, episode 14, and as you can hear...
Hi.
No, I thought you were going to say...
Oh, is Salt and Pepper's here?
Well, everyone
was singing a song.
All right, so episode 14. We're well into the new year. We are without a doubt. There's no time traveling back and forth between 2014 and 2015 this week. No matter how we pitch it, we're in 2015 this year.
Yeah, we are.
Yay.
So no confusion there.
I got my self-lacing Nikes in the front room.
Do you?
Yeah.
My jacket just dried itself. Why it was wet, I will not tell you.
I just had a freeze-dried Pizza Hut pizza.
There you go.
Nice.
Any more Back to the Future 2 references?
Did we get a release date for the new Jaws?
Yeah.
Where's that?
I heard the...
the Cubs made some really impressive moves in the winter meetings. So
all right.
I don't know.
I'm definitely thinking about putting down, you know...
Putting down some money on the Cubs.
20, 30
I'm
bucks.
Calling it now.
Just because.
Just to see.
Calling it now.
The problem is they have to beat Miami in the World Series, which... Unless something radical happens before April, is going to be fairly impossible.
Those two teams can't play for
me. Exactly. Series. That's what I'm saying. So, anyways, episode 14, a lot of Back to the Future 2 references, obviously, because it's 2015. And that, you know what? Probably for the next 52 weeks, you will hear us with Back to the Future 2 references, I'm going to assume. Then we have to come up with something else for 2016 next year. I don't know. We got time to figure something out. A lot of exciting things going on. It is, you know, we're out of the holidays. We got movie news happening, talking about ScarJo getting cast in a... And there you go.
Now, is that definite? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, no.
It is
she's
definite.
Signed on.
She is in.
You have, and we'll get into details on in a second, but then you have some more superhero casting rumors that aren't necessarily definite. We talked a little bit last week about the... Vin Diesel, I'm sorry.
Yes.
With the Inhumans. And then this week, you have Channing Tatum, tweet. How do you say October whatever?
In Cajun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So rumors for Gambit.
I feel like that one was.
Well, that was already.
That was pretty confirmed.
We knew about that one already.
Was that a done deal, though?
Pretty much. Yeah.
I don't feel like it was. I don't know.
But it was. It might as well have been.
We've talked about that over the past few episodes of it's nice to get a little bit more confirmation, but I guess we're still in the gray on that one. Of course, so a lot of movie stuff. So let's start with the ScarJo part. What movie is it, Bob?
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell. Okay.
I know. Hey, I've been sick for the past few days.
Okay. So we'll let it slide.
We'll let it slide.
So is Bob. So I won't pick on you anymore. So Ghost in the Shell Scarlett Johansson cast as the lead.
Yeah.
What do we think?
Good actress. I've read a lot of the stuff online and mostly it's all comments. I mean it's the blurb and then, you know, fanboys kind of freaking out that, well, you know, she's playing what I guess is a Japanese robot, but I mean
cyborg.
Yeah. So it's awkward. She could be American. We don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest too, like a lot of anime women are drawn in like an American woman style.
Right.
Like
yeah.
It's so
So I don't know. I think it'll be fine. The best comment I read was that she will not make or break the movie. If it's bad, it will not be because she did a bad job. It'll be because either the director was wrong or the script was bad.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have they released anything about like what kind of story? Like, are they going to reboot the original movie?
My understanding, and these were early rumors when they talked about doing the live action. So this isn't anything recent. So. To give a little backstory for me on it, I am not a huge anime fan. I never really gotten into it, even though I should. I'm in the culture. I'm around people that love it. However, the Ghost in the Shell and Ghost Shell 2.0, those films, I do enjoy.
Really
yeah, they're
good.
Really good. And that and Akira, which is also going through a live action reboot right now, are two of the ones that I've been really excited for seeing that live action. My understanding, just like Akira, it's getting that reboot treatment. So you're going to pretty much see closely, if not to the detail, following of the original.
So like the Puppet Master storyline and
yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think which could make a great live action sci-fi movie. Like, well, obviously if it got so loved as the first one. And I think she can work as that character. But I'm going to agree with Adam what you said. You read that I don't think it'll be her that makes or breaks it. Yeah. We'll have to see what happens around right. it.
That one's really about how well are you telling that. Oh, yeah. Ghost in the Shell, I mean, for everything else it does, it's old school like sci-fi. It approaches some really big ideas in a weird way around, you know, what does it mean to be human and that kind of stuff.
I don't think people right now, though, are afraid of that. I think we've gotten back into it.
No, I'm not saying that they're afraid. I'm saying it's how well do you execute on that?
That's true.
Do you pull like a Minority Report and take some really big, you know, philosophical ideas and boil them down to we're going to have a really big action-packed thing that sort of touches on it? Or is that the focus of the movie? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say there is I think, and you go back to Minority Report, I think through the late 90s into the early 2000s, there was this kind of fear of that type of sci-fi. You had to action it up. You had to for it to be successful. And I think we've gotten back to where we're seeing good movies that are doing okay financially that are good old-fashioned sci-fi movies that do that type of stuff. So I guess what I'm saying is that they shouldn't be afraid to approach it that way because people aren't afraid of it anymore.
I guess one of my things is it seems like Scarlett Johansson is just the only one getting cast, and you know she's Black Widow, Lucy, now this. Is there going to be like
sounds like a complaint? I don't see anything wrong with.
I'm just saying, is there just going to be kind of an overkill? Like she's the only one who's going to be cast in this type of role in these type of movies anymore?
Well, let's see. Angelina Jolie had to stop because she had all these kids.
Yeah.
So
you got people like Jennifer Lawrence doing that same type of action-y sci-fi type of role.
Mystique, but what else?
Hunger Games?
Well, but that's not the same type
of role. That's not the same type of role.
It's a sci-fi action heroine. Yeah, I don't know how much more of a role that can be.
I don't know. It's hard to...
Future post-apocalyptic...
But you know,
I can actually see what Bob's saying here, though. You feel like, oh, we're going to do...
But I mean, that's what, three movies?
Well, but it's no different.
No,
it's no different than a male. Like, I mean, in Tom Cruise, we need a kind of dark, mysterious action hero in the late 80s. Oh, well, Tom Cruise, he can do it all. We don't care. We need a race car driver. Get Tom Cruise.
But where's Tom Cruise right now?
He's still doing it,
but not as successful as he was back then.
I don't know. I really liked Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow's really good.
Hollywood's always been like this.
They pick on they get locked on someone. Oh, that one's bankable. It happened to
Will Smith
had happened to. And it even happens to people that are lesser known. Like it happened to Sam Worthington. Sam Worthington was that guy who overnight was in like 10 sci-fi
Avatar,
fantasy.
Terminator, a couple other franchises.
What do you call it? The Iliad, Odyssey.
Clash of the Titans reboot and Wrath of the Titans.
It happens. I mean, it always feels, and it happens like Tom Hardy. There's always that person who hits really hard, and the way that movie production makes, they could make five movies in a 3-year period, but four of them come out within like 6 months.
But the
of
thing
each
like
other.
Tom Hardy is though. He does the big movies, but he also does those small independent films like Locke, you know, where it's not,
you're
it's completely
that these
different.
People don't do those. She did that Woody Allen one with Hugh Jackman. Like,
I'm going to put this out here, guys. I'm going to put this out here. If every movie had either Tom Hardy or Scarlett Johansson as the lead over the next 2 years,
see them all.
I'm going to still see them all.
Yeah, I'd see every one of them.
I'm just going to say that.
That's true.
And they'll ride that because they know it's bankable. Like you put this person on the poster, people will go see the movie right up until they don't anymore. And then you move to the next person who's hot right now.
Right. I think Scarlett Johansson and Tom Hardy and a lot of the people we mentioned, maybe not Sam Worthington. I like Sam Worthington, but those are people that can survive otherwise.
People get scared of typecasting because it is a real thing that happens.
I understand, though, but I also, maybe to rephrase this, because I think I feel where you're coming from, Bob, so maybe this is a better way to say it. In all the male characters we just talked about, those are all going on at the same, you know, relatively close to the same time or overlapping, because you have this many action stars. Here's a better way to put it. Who is the other female action star right now besides Scarlett Johansson? Maybe that's a way to put it. Who else can we see out there that maybe would work in some of these roles? Because I get what you're saying. It feels like if she's not cast for it, anytime something is brought up, then the rumors at least immediately go that way. So who else do we have in mind right now? Because, you know, you go back 5-10 years ago, you could at least grab a handful of female action stars or
could
that
you?
Were capable. Yeah. I mean, you could talk about like Angelina Jolie's, the Halle Berry's. That I mean, you had a number of people.
Of those,
Kate Beckinsale
action,
was doing action.
One franchise. I mean, I can throw a couple out in recent, like Noomi Rapace, who in a short period of time Swedish versions of
She's
the
such
Girl
a chameleon, though.
She yeah. did
like,
the...
You forget that she's in all these
But you say big blockbusters.
No,
she did
you got
Prometheus,
a point. You got a point.
She did Sherlock Holmes. She did Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the originals.
Yeah.
Who else?
I'll give you that. You got a point, but she is totally a chameleon in those roles, too, so it's hard to remember that she's in each one of those.
Let's see. Who else can I think of?
Even her, though, where is it now? Like,
but I think
she needs to be in something now.
It goes back to your point about people are more willing to accept true sci-fi as opposed to the full action sci-fi. So maybe we don't need as many of those characters.
Okay.
Uma Thurman had a pretty good run of it there.
That's
for a while.
What I'm saying. With those other ones, she was in there. But like right now, who is...
How many movies
like
are
being
made with female
And that's
action.
What Adam's kind of saying right there.
We need a new one.
I mean,
is it going to be you?
Yeah, it's going to be me.
Who's
Enter
what's her name?
A cosplayer.
What's
you
her name
it.
That did the not Uma South African?
South African?
Yeah, she's South African. She did like she had that really bad Ultraviolet reboot, but she's been
Mila Jovovich.
No.
Oh, Olivia Wilde's.
No.
Sandy Newton.
God, what's her name? Monster.
Mila Jovovich was in Ultraviolet.
Charlize Theron.
No. Charlize Theron.
He's thinking Aeon Flux.
She not
did,
Ultraviolet.
Yeah, she did.
Charlize Theron.
Well, she's got
is,
Mad Max.
South African?
Yes, she is.
What the frick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for Mad Max, which goes back to Tom Hardy.
Yeah, there you go.
But also Charlize Theron with a big metal arm.
I'm totally digging Tom Hardy as Mad Max, though. And the images and the trailers they keep releasing, it's like, just shut up. And like, I'm ready to buy my tickets now.
Take my money.
Like, go ahead.
Take my money.
I never saw the original, so I don't really know.
What just happened?
Ugh.
Did you guys not know that's why I'm like not really excited about it? Like, it's Tom Hardy.
That's
but.
It. That's it. Are we ready to do this? I'm cool with watching all three in order, but we could just even go straight to...
Straight Thunderdome?
Well, you're not going to go straight to
Beyond
Thunderdome.
No, you
got to
go, Road
two.
Warrior.
Yeah, you got to go... You gotta
have
go Road Warrior.
But I feel like this one's
Road
Warrior's
the best
one already
so far.
Road Warrior. Like,
so
this
is
already
oh, yeah,
past
the
Mad
one
Max
movie
point.
Everyone's
like,
okay with Mel Gibson.
This is what made Mel Gibson
I'm okay
relevant.
With a lot of Mel Gibson movies.
Because it was because of these movies that he became, you know, Lethal Weapon. He became,
yeah, right. That he became anything, to be honest. Like, not to say he wouldn't have
back
had something
still,
down the road. But
back when he was still actually
I mean, he went back, you know, back when he was first started off, he did movies like Gallipoli and stuff like that. But yeah, it was... The Mad Max movies were the ones that made him.
He is Mad Max, but I'm actually like in so many instances, it feels like in the past so many years and even coming up, it's like it feels like every franchise is passing the torch. We have to reboot everything. Mm-hmm. And this is the one instance where I'm like, you know, before I've even seen it, I'm going to go ahead and say this is a pretty good passing of the torch
it's a
good
here. Fit.
Like,
it's a good fit.
Yeah.
For considering there's been some bad ones, not that I want to name, I don't want to blame them on the actor, but like I just watched. It went free on streaming because I never bought to see it in the theater. I went and watched, sat down and watched Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I really like Chris Pine, and he was really good in it. I really like Kevin Costner was good in it, even and Kenneth Branagh on it. It is not a good movie.
Yeah,
is it not?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey,
it's hard because I was looking for that because the previous Jack Ryan films I enjoy, you know.
Yeah,
I will say it's. Probably,
is it better than the Ben Affleck one?
He's definitely better than the Ben Affleck one.
That's good. Okay.
But it's one of those things where it's
poor Ben
definitely
Affleck.
Like definitely
I like Ben
turn
Affleck. It's a bad
this,
movie though, man.
Yeah.
They definitely try to turn him into this superhero. It's like, hey.
Is he Jason Bourne?
No, he's definitely like PhD in economics, like analyst for the CIA,
right.
But like one day like while he's working on Wall Street undercover, it's like so there's this thing that you figured out by going through like financial records, but we don't have anyone else around. And even though you only spent like 3 months at the farm training with the CIA, we need you to go like single-handedly to Russia and stop this like terrorist attack. Like, and you're the only one who can do it.
He's
like,
Jack
we're
going to
be there. We're going to be there in the van and
does
like on your
say,
headset, but we need you to be the guy who does all the paperwork, but then also here's your gun. Go nuts.
Doesn't Jack Ryan even become like action star president in the books? Like, is
in the
he,
books?
Yeah.
In the president. Books. And then he actually gets appointed vice president, becomes president, runs again resigns from the presidency, goes and runs some secret think tank. Like,
this is Jack Ryan. He can handle it.
Secret,
dude.
Off the books, black ops thing. Then goes and runs for president again, becomes resident for a second term.
You're overthinking it right now.
But does he monologue himself and say, next time, Jack, write a memo?
Because
he should.
Here's the thing.
Every Jack Ryan
should. I know the gist of where the Tom Clancy books went before Tom Clancy obviously died, but I've read like all of two of them. The one I'm excited about is they're supposed to be making movies, trying to make movies, launching another character from that universe, the John Clark character from like Without Remorse, the character Liev Schreiber played, and the one that Willem Dafoe played in the movies.
Yeah, some of
and that guy is a super badass.
There's a guy we need in some more action movies right there.
Liev Schreiber or Willem Dafoe?
Definitely.
Well,
either one of them.
Yes.
The
answer to that or question is yes.
Liev Schreiber. It's funny you make fun of the Ben Affleck one, because after I watched Shadow Recruit, I was thinking about Jack Ryan. I haven't seen that Ben Affleck one. Is it as bad as I forgot? Remember it? It is, actually. As bad as but Liev Schreiber's kind of awesome in it.
Liev Schreiber, yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while, but
he's the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
That Ben Affleck's the bomb in Phantoms, yeah. Speaking of Ben Affleck, so I had I got to watch Gone Girl this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
So good, right?
Oh my gosh.
Are you putting it on your list? Because it's on my list.
It's too late. I've already constructed the post. It would definitely be fighting. So I think the way I worded it is, it's not necessarily my favorite movie of the year, because if you leave saying that's your favorite, like, there's something internally wrong with you.
But it's definitely one of the best.
I think it is the best movie of the year. Like, David Fincher, and then not only that, like, as I'm watching it the whole time, I'm saying, I'm not even just David Fincher, but Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor.
Yeah, what he does with the soundtrack is just unbelievable.
The soundtrack's
fantastic. He puts in heartbeats, clock ticks into the music, so it's not just part of the sound effects, it's part of the score.
It's the track, yeah.
It's really disgusting.
Yeah. It's so, it just adds that intensity level, and then David Fincher just does this thing to make you, oh yeah, I'm gonna, you know, relate, have compassion for this character, then I'm gonna hate this character, and then I'm gonna go back to him and be like, well, I shouldn't have hated it wasn't really, and then I'm back to hating the character, and then it's like you're just back and forth on these characters, and by the end of it you're like, I really don't know what's going on anymore, like, what is happening?
Sounds like Fincher, yeah.
And it's fantastic, because it's hard, because I think us as a group could probably, we're movie snobs, I mean, there's no easy way to put it. And so it feels like cinema is becoming more and more easy to predict. And so you go in, like, I try to make a point of, like, predicting this now and then being like, yeah, I figured it out, whatever type. And in this one, you're kind of like, as things go on, you start to, you're like, okay, it's got to be one of these three things. And then you finally get it right. But it's, you really, like, it's just like, what is going on?
It's funny that you brought it up today, because we were actually talking about this to someone. I was talking about it to someone at work today, because...
Now remember, it's not out on DVD and Blu-ray yet, so we gotta keep spoilers down.
1 week, like a week,
so it'll be out four days.
The only reason
this.
I bring it up, because it's getting ready to come out, so there's been some more press around it, and we were talking about it at work.
So
we were looking up to see when the release date was. Like, wow, it's already coming out. I feel like it was in theaters not that long ago. It was October that it came out, first weekend of October. Mm-hmm. But there was an interview in Vanity Fair this week, I believe, with Rosamund Pike, who, she's awesome. Anyway. Ever since that really crappy James Bond movie where she plays the
Die Another Day.
Die Another Day. I've always had a pretty
good
But she's really good.
So that could
Reacher.
Be anything with Brosnan, not GoldenEye. That really crappy Bond
movie. The one where it's like North Korean with the invisible car and the diamonds and the ice.
And that's
and
Halle Berry too,
Halle
right?
Berry, yeah. Is the bad jinx. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rosamund Pike's fantastic in that.
She is.
Beautiful. But she was pretty good in Jack Reacher. She's got that Simon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's good in Jack Reacher. Yeah.
Anyway, I really like Rosemary. Anyway, she did an interview in Vanity Fair recently, and they were asking her questions about Gone Girl. And without doing any spoilers, that scene, 36 takes.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
36 takes to get that scene right.
She's messed up for life. Dude.
Now I really want to see that movie.
She's messed up for life.
Like, more than I did.
You're
going to
watch the movie and you're going to immediately know what he means by that scene.
Yeah, I figured as
you
much.
You need to be a little bit more specific.
No, he does not need to be more specific. He can tell you off microphone, but you do not need to be any more specific.
Just act it out real quick.
No, Adam hasn't. Adam.
Bacara. Oh, no, I got it.
Oh, that didn't take long.
He made a gesture with his mouth and his hand. And that's all I'm going to say.
He
made an expression.
Probably
takes.
Too much.
Well, I mean, she wasn't.
And apparently multiple pairs of underwear.
Oh.
La, da, 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 da. Can I say something about the movie?
Sure.
Please.
It made me almost have a heart attack about 10 million times. It was like
the intensity.
Way more anxious. Like the anxiety that's provoked during movies like Gravity or, you know, those types of movies that have been recently getting a lot of like talk about how it's just nothing but anxiety causing. This was the most worst movie ever. And I want to see it again. So that
I think I'll agree with you that I think the reason Gravity was one of my favorites of last year of 2013, correct? Mm-hmm. Was that it's like I want a movie that's whatever emotion it is that it's trying to get from me. If it gets it, then it's successful. And Gravity does that. I agree. Gone Girl does that 10 times. And it from the opening of Gone Girl, like you just immediately feel
uncomfortable.
You feel dread. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just the whole time you are like stressed about what's going to happen, like who and what is going on here. And it's not. And it's good because and going back to Fincher, he leaves.
How good is he?
No, he is. And he just leaves subtle little things in there because I was watching it and I'd be like, look, I'm like, well, it's hard because, yeah, this he's doing something like this. But when they did that flashback, he was also behaving like that. So you don't really know, but he's also showing note. Like, and it's just like, what is going? And so it's like putting little things in there to make you question yourself or leave clues. You don't even after knowing the result of the movie, you still don't know if they were to make you question yourself or leave clues. But it's he's a master of just toying with your emotions. And the thing is what really makes you realize that is it's not this movie. It's not the girl with the dragon tattoo. It's the fact that he could get that emotion out of you on The Social Network.
Yeah.
Like if you could feel like that at points in The Social Network about Facebook, then you know he knows what he's doing.
Fincher is a very, very good director.
I would love to see.
Now, here's the question about this movie. Now that Bob has seen it, you've seen it, Aaron's seen it, Adam still needs to see it.
Oh,
but
man.
Now that almost everyone's seen it, after being in
numerous... We'll take care of Adam this week, don't worry.
After being in numerous critically acclaimed films as rather either an actor or as a director, and while the movies get tons of acclaim, not so much him, is this the one that someone finally sits down and is like, all right, Ben Affleck, you're a really good actor. Like he gets, he's going
to
get nominated.
It needs to
be. He personally gets nominated for an acting award.
I hope so.
Do you think he does?
I seriously doubt he will be.
Not, and especially because even without me seeing,
do you think he
deserves
that strong feel?
I don't know. I have to see enough of the
other
field.
It's a super strong feel, but I'm just saying, like, was after a lot of them where like maybe he was the weakest part, or a lot of people said it was good, even though he acted in it. Like, you know, I mean, but I mean, he's been in. I mean, say what you will about him, and you know whether it's Geely or Daredevil.
I love him.
He's been in a lot of movies as a main character. That those movies went on to garner huge critical acclaim.
Yeah.
But I very rarely does he ever get any recognition as being a good actor.
First of all, he's hit in my opinion, he has hit a home run every time he has taken that director's chair. There has not been anything he has directed that I didn't think was not only good but absolutely great. Like,
yeah, he's a good actor now.
Argo was a great movie. The Town, I absolutely love. Like, I mean, there's just when you look at those movies he's done, fantastic. And no matter how much you want to tease about the rewrites or how much involvement he had with it, Good Will Hunting is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Gone Baby Gone?
Gone Baby Gone. Yeah. It's a great movie. And it's another movie you want to talk about. He's not to that Fincher level, but you want to talk about a level of making you feel connection with those characters and maybe feel uncomfortable. Gone Baby Gone is a great example. The Town, you feel uncomfortable about certain situations. So he's able to... Argo, you're like, you know how it ends, but you're still suspended by what is the scene going to bring, you know? So... He does a great job of that, and he is totally underappreciated and undercredited for it. And
I
as
feel
an
like
actor,
I feel like
I
in the last few years, he's gotten a lot of cred for his directing, especially
right.
after The Town.
Right. Finally, after Argo,
after
really.
Gone Baby Gone, people were like, okay, it's flawed, but he showed some chops here. And then after The Town, people were like, all right, this guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
But I have yet to hear anyone, even in movies like The Town, people loved it, and even Argo, people loved it. People thought he did a great job directing. They thought the movie was great. But you don't hear anyone saying when his job acting in it was fantastic. Now, Argo's a bad example. There's not a lot to do with that role, but...
Here's maybe a question for it more is... is it possibly, do people maybe feel that way? Because almost every time he's on screen, somebody else just gives that performance, you know? Like, even The Town, like Jeremy Renner in The Town.
Killed. Jeremy Renner is amazing.
Dynamite. Like, just amazing.
I think that's his best role.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen him better in any other movie. Uh-huh. And that's, so right there. So no matter how good he is, Jeremy Renner puts a shadow. The same with Good Will Hunting. I mean, he's a supporting character. Not only has he got Matt Damon's performance that, but Robin Williams. You're not out acting Robin Williams in that. And you can go to a lot of the other ones too. Like So maybe that's the reason he doesn't get as much love.
I think you probably hit it right there because, you know, in earlier Ben Affleck movies, he just came off very kind of flat and stuff like that. And, you know, in the films recently, yeah, he's definitely gotten better. But, yeah, I think he's been overshadowed by other performances like Argo, John Goodman, everyone else in that, pretty much in that cast.
That's a credit to his directing, that's I mean, that's the other piece, is that he's putting people in the right positions to really shine in their roles.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yet maybe he misses himself a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
And in Gone Girl, I mean, Rosamund Pike. I mean, and I know not sure the girl who plays his sister. And
Rosamund Pike doesn't even have a big, like, from beginning to end role in that movie.
Right.
And, yeah, knocks it. And, yeah, what's her name who plays his sister?
I can't remember who plays his sister.
No, she's
wonderful.
She's dynamite in that movie. So, yeah, once again, you have... and you have great performances, even to small performances from like Tyler Perry.
I mean,
like,
have you ever said you really like Tyler Perry in a movie?
No, that's what I'm saying right now.
I thought he was good in Star Trek.
If you want to see one, like go back prior to any of this stuff happening and see a movie where I think Ben Affleck killed it.
The Phantoms?
I mean, he was the bomb in Phantoms.
Jersey Girl.
But
he's not, his performance is not
bad.
It's
just not a good movie, but. No, go back and watch. It was early 2000s, like Hollywoodland.
Yep,
where he plays George Reeves, the guy who originally. Uh-huh. He's phenomenal in that movie.
You know, and I
there
think that
go.
Was
there's the one where he's the best performance.
That movie got missed. Yeah,
I think that was the performance. I think he finally got it. That he said, I can act. I mean, before then, like I said, he was doing the romantic comedies and all that kind of stuff. And that was probably the first film that Hollywood actually took notice of him as an actor.
Well, I think the problem with Hollywoodland is it built up with all this hype, and to be 100% honest, it was a bit, it dragged. It was a dragger of a movie.
What?
But his performance,
it definitely
was,
got people's attention.
He kills it.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
I mean, and he did, and it's also not his fault. He does a lot of, like, weird role, not weird roles, but he plays like
his
that
after
side.
School special.
No, but he plays like that side over
steroids
the top
is a
crazy
real thing.
Character.
Was it anger? Is it steroids or is it just
it was
anger?
Steroids.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Why
he does.
Anger. Right. Yeah.
He plays a smaller part that's just kind of over the top, and it needs to be like, like a boiler room kind of character where he's like.
But I mean, Chasing Amy is one of my favorite.
I love
movies,
that movie.
I mean, that's
Michael Bay movies. Like
He is super flat though in the early Kevin Smith movies, but they're in roles that are meant to be made fun of. So I don't have as big of a problem.
Right.
I
don't need him trying to steal the show as
his
the,
terrible
the mall
performance
guy
in
Mallrats
is fine because he's supposed to be this dick
that
you
supposed
hit
to
anyway.
Hit him right.
Douchey guy from
he did it really well. It's totally believable.
What's the one he did early 2000s with Samuel L. Jackson? Where they're on like the turnpike and they just it keeps escalating into
because he like doesn't he like cut off Samuel L. Jackson and then Samuel L. Jackson like basically harasses him about it all or something like that.
It gets really
dark.
I don't know. He's been in tons of stuff and he's had those roles that aren't and those movies that aren't great. But I can say anytime you cast him for something now, like I think we've discussed it and I know nobody's like got. Downright just been angry about him being cast as Batman. I know there wasn't that's what I was saying in our conversations. I'm sorry. But there wasn't necessarily a lot of excitement. But at the same time, I was kind of like, you know, I see it because he hasn't done anything in the past 5+ years that has said
Runner?
It was the one with Justin Timberlake
with like the offshore gambling and stuff like
that.
Oh,
no, I didn't see
that. That was just like
a year or two ago.
Yeah.
The trailers looked interesting. I didn't hear great things about it, but I don't know anyone who saw it, so I'm just curious.
Yeah,
he's like the villain main guy in that with Justin Timberlake. Was it good?
No, it's forgettable.
All right. I'm just curious.
Like,
I didn't go see
that's
movies.
The biggest thing I can think of recently that he like starred in that wasn't something he was like, that's not Gone Girl or something he directed.
But I think that was probably more of a Justin Timberlake vehicle.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that's the reason I remember it because I like Justin Timberlake as an actor too, but I just don't feel like, and that probably is because I think it started with the script and from behind the camera. That
I think
wasn't.
Timberlake's not good at picking roles. I think he's a fine actor.
Yeah, I mean,
he needs to just stick to comedies.
And I like that
he gets into great movies like Social Network. I think he did a good job there. And then his comedy movies, he has great comedic timing, I think. But then he picks some really random ones. You're like, why are you doing this?
So Tyler, where was, you mentioned it, where was Gone Girl on your top 10 list? Was it
Whiplash
two?
Was one, Gone Girl was two. God,
I can't remember Whiplash. Was mine was six or seven.
Okay. And I think the list shows up here. So by the time this airs, in about 4 hours from now, you will see this list. If by the time you're listening to this, it could be out already. But the list comes out today on Friday, the 9th. So Gone Girl's on the list. I want to say it's five or six. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it definitely made the
Whiplash
list.
Whiplash didn't make it, though, did it?
No, but I put it, it's got a little honorable mention of that it received a first-place vote.
All right.
I don't want to say the list because the podcast comes out before that.
I just want to know if Whiplash made it.
I'll show you guys the list afterwards, but it's, yeah, I'm not a...
Can't liberty talk. To say.
Yeah, I'm not liberty to say because, well, I want you to come back to the site in a few hours if right. you listen. I'm going to be honest. I need some traffic numbers.
Got to open the envelopes.
Yep, that's the thing. All right, so, yeah, good amount of time there invested on Gone Girl with good reason. If you haven't seen it, Adam, or any of
I'm
our...
I'm trying.
List, I know. No,
and if
I
you don't, and if you don't know who David Fincher is...
Comes out on Tuesday.
Look out of his movies. Yeah. Watch them all.
Well,
cry yourself to sleep.
Gone Girl is just, yeah, I just... So I'm going to go back to, I think, my closing statement on that movie is, I won't say it's my favorite of the year. I'd still say Chef is my favorite, but if I'm going to say what was the best made and done movie of the year of what I've seen so far, and I haven't seen Birdman yet, so I don't know, but it's Gone Girl. It's mm-hmm. definitely Gone Girl. So,
interesting.
Definitely exciting, which I will give you another little hint on our top 10 list. Birdman did make the list.
It
so,
did make it?
Yeah.
Good.
Ooh. Our indie voters came in and a lot of them had seen it, so. They got right. you. Got you
so
some support.
Now that we're on it, just so we can get it out of the way, because we're talking to people, telling them if they're not familiar, best David Fincher movie, favorite David. Okay, best David
favorite
Fincher
or
movie,
best.
Favorite
you
David
can't
Fincher.
Do that.
Yeah, you
can.
Oh,
no,
that's,
you can't.
That's evil.
Yeah, you can.
That
you
need is to look
evil.
At them.
Well, go ahead and lead us off there, Tyler, so we can.
So favorite will always be Fight Club.
Oh yeah.
Even though it's faded at the time, you go back and watch it, and you're like, I feel like I need to be like 17, 18, 19 again to like really. Connect with this movie
because of the fighting and the gratuitous.
Like, no, just that
that's when it hit.
That like, what do you want to say? That I haven't been in the real world philosophy of, you know, fuck the world kind of stuff. Like I feel yeah. like you need to be a little younger to really to buy into that message of. Like we, I mean, some of it's true, but you're not the pants you
Can
wear.
Can I mention that I
whatever.
Love that he's not only started with directing music videos, but that
he still does
direct
oh, yeah.
music videos mm-hmm. like. Whatever,
it's fantastic.
Does, yeah.
Him and what's his name, the other director I like, Where the Wild Things Are, and all that. What's
Spike Jones?
Yeah, Spike Jones. Still. Yeah. And if the Beastie Boys were still rolling today, he'd still be right there with them. Taking.
Oh
care.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said Fight Club's your
Fight
favorite.
Fight Club's my favorite, best one. It's probably still got to be Seven. I don't know if he can do better
so
than
good.
Seven.
I don't. Ugh.
Some of them are. There's some that I'm not a huge fan of, but are really good. Like Zodiac. Like not one of my favorites, yeah. but God, it's so good. Like it's so
it
well
really
directed.
That's, no, it's you said it best. There, not a favorite, but when you
same
really
with
look
Benjamin
at it, it's a
Button.
Movie.
Benjamin Button's not a movie that I really connected with, but it's so well made.
Benjamin Button is a movie that I definitely enjoyed. So Fight Club, favorite. Seven, the best. We're talking a little bit about Zodiac there as being
Seven also makes a case for favorite because I really, really
Seven
like
is
that
so
movie.
That's but that's where I'm saying I don't know. I need to hear other people's
good.
Opinions too because I don't know if I can give an answer to this like
my
yeah I can
favorite is probably and this is I'll get some shit for this ooh sorry everybody I'll get some stuff from this from you guys my favorite's probably Alien 3.
I'm not surprised by that, though. I'm not surprised.
I'm not going to give you any shit on
but
that.
But that was one of those movies came out early 90s.
I'll make you feel better. My favorite's probably his the extended music video of Dangerous, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But no, so yeah, Alien 3 was right at that time. It was one of those
And
first...
you're a massive, massive, massive Alien fan.
Yes,
so
I am.
Our
yes,
audience
I am.
Knows
yeah. and
Adam
this...
is the Alien fan.
And this was the first one I saw.
Okay.
Because of my age.
Really?
Because of my age and because my mom liked the movie. She has this weird relationship with scary movies where she will watch, like, she'll watch them, but she hates them. So she reads a book while she does it.
And then and lets her kids sit there and watch them while she reads
the
book.
If you think about Alien, other than the fact that, you know, like,
there's
something
aliens
pops out of
bursting from your chest.
But you don't see it in that one.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
All the stuff happens is the alien, like, attacking people.
Yeah.
And so if you're from from a, is this okay for people to watch? Like, I'm not going to have nightmares about this because it's not, it's very clearly not a real thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and
neither,
I was,
neither is Freddy or Jason. You had nightmares about that.
Well, I mean, but, I saw Freddy when I was five, so there's a little bit of a difference. Can, there.
That's a whole nother thing you could get off on though right now, is the great directors that have directed an alien movie.
Yeah. Like, well, the thing about, well, the thing about the aliens is people, like, you can't, if you're talking about good, you know, good movie, bad movie, I think all three of those first three movies are good movies. People just don't appreciate that they're three very different movies.
Oh, yeah.
One
yeah,
is, they're totally different genres. You know, the first one is psychological thriller. Yeah. The second one is like straight up
action.
Horror film. Right. Action.
Action horror.
Well,
yeah.
Action. And then the third one's straight up just horror film. You yeah. know, right. Like they're three very different genres of film.
All right. So, Adam, so Alien 3 is your favorite.
Alien 3 is my favorite.
What do you think is the best one David Fincher has made?
Before Social Network, it was, I think it was clearly 7. I mean, that movie is just absolutely phenomenal. But I think
Social Network's a good movie, dude.
It's
I'm
a
not
really good movie. So
that.
I think Social Network's probably the best. I want it to be 7 because I like 7 better, but I think Social Network's better than 7 from a getting everything set and running
all
kind
right.
of standpoint.
All right, Bob.
Favorite. The Game.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
That really
movie.
Exactly that is,
dude. And that scene with the clown every time, man. I tell
just
you,
just the
what,
end of it.
Not even that, but like, and I always never fails that I'm like, hey, I'm gonna throw the game in when I'm sitting here by myself, dark house, nothing going
bad
on,
plan.
And everything's fine. And then you get to that scene where he shows back up at the house and the clowns is it, and you're just like, why did I choose to watch this by myself again? Like.
Right. I'm good with it right up until the end, and then the end, and I'm just like every time, like I know what's happening,
yeah.
I know what's going to happen. Every time I get to the end, I'm
but
like,
it's
son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's yeah.
All right.
I
so
mean,
it's
really it's a great movie to watch. I mean, yeah, it is a total mindfuck.
We've dropped two now, so
we got one more
go,
left.
Bob.
I guess we've had two different takes. No, we don't have any more left. We only had one.
we only get one, Bob.
But best is 7. I mean, yeah, I saw Alien. I think Alien 3 came out after 7, if I remember right. I can't
no.
remember. Was it 7 first?
No,
Alien
3 Alien
was first.
3 was
first.
Like 92 or 93.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was a few years.
Because like I said, I still remember when I saw 7. I walked out of the theater just shaking. It was just so disturbing. And I had never seen a movie like that. And it just captured me from the very beginning. And it just drew me in.
His movies do. I was going to say they don't end with a nice little red bow on them, but no, actually they do. But usually that's because the bow is
covered
in blood.
Yeah,
like that's,
for sure. Covered
so
in
it's not always happy endings with David Fincher.
Seven's not. But the big thing I think, and it's not just him. Obviously, it's the cinematographer too. But Seven's one of those things that the acting's good, the story's good, the direction, the pacing's good, but the tone that it creates, the atmosphere,
yeah.
like the parking garage or the apartment complex, like all those different light filters they use,
yeah.
like the weird, like when they're in the house with the guy tied to the bed, that kind of hazy glow, like
yeah.
glow
See, I
over everything. Like, and
I remember, yeah. when Seven came out on Laserdisc.
Ooh,
yeah,
I own it on Laserdisc.
And they had special instructions to set the lighting, the lightness, the brightness on the disc because. The picture was actually had I'm not sure what it was, but there was some special coating on the picture that kind of made it a little glisteny, they
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
And I know you had to adjust that, and it just really made that movie.
I got mine
so
second hand,
each,
so I don't have anything.
Each sin has that kind of every sequence has this different, like,
feel
I don't
to
want
it.
To say filter
oh, yeah.
to it, but it has.
Yes.
It's a feel to it.
And like I said, I mean, I still can't get back past the what's in the box.
Yeah. See, I was going to say, and that's the other
what's
thing.
In
it's
the
like,
box?
It has stopping, but we say that movie, that line gets quoted at work at least.
I do too.
The line gets quoted to here at least.
Right. What's in the box? What's in the box?
All right, Aaron, what is, if you can give us an opinion, what is your favorite David Fincher movie and what do you think is the best?
My favorite is Fight Club, just because it's, I mean, that's one of my top 10 all-time favorite movies, period. And I mean, up until just probably 10 years ago, it was my favorite movie. So I would say that it would like hold up for me. If anything, like
I
loved
it more. When you rewatch
it,
it holds up. I get what Tyler's saying, but at the same time, it doesn't mean it doesn't hold up as a movie.
Oh, I still love the movie,
yeah.
but yeah.
I think it holds up.
When you see it at 18, though, you feel like it's speaking to
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Visceral level.
I could be one of those guys. Yeah. I want just, like, off the grid, screw everything about society.
Because I feel
this.
Like that came out right around I was, like, graduating high school, starting college.
And oh, yeah.
It had been a few years, because it was 99, wasn't it? Or was it 2000?
It was 99.
So, 99. Yeah, like, right in the middle of high school, like, getting ready to go to college. And then I remember in college, like I had a friend who was, she was super obsessed with the movie and used to, like, go around and get drunk. She would get drunk and, like, go to parties and ask people to hit her in the face as much as they could.
Wow.
Basically.
Wow. See, that was what you guys are talking about, that, like, being a super rebellious person, that part never appealed to me. The only part that appealed to me, like, I loved, like, just the weird, crazy weirdness of the movie. That was my favorite. And then, I mean, the only thing that doesn't have
Aaron's
as much
crazy.
Luster. Yes. The only thing that doesn't have as much luster for me is the fighting, because I wanted to, like, be that girl who would just be like, punch me. Let's fight. This is awesome. I want to go to a fight club.
So do you think Fight Club is the best, or is there another one that you would say is his best work?
Well, having seen Gone Girl, I mean, it's hard because he's going to get better.
Well,
he's getting better, and I think Gone Girl is his best
now. My opinion, so I'm going to kind of agree with you on that, and I think part of it is not only has he gotten better, and I think he's hit a groove now with his past few films, but I think the people he's put around him have made him better.
Yeah.
Going right back to Trent Reznor, he's going to obviously bring Reznor back for every single score, and with good reason, and I think a score and music is such a part that pulls emotion from you in
a
movie. Yeah.
It's
and his movie especially. Right. And Reznor does such an incredible job that I feel like when I look back at his past three, The Social Network, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Gone Girl, those are his past three. I didn't miss anything in between there. Okay. Yeah. Those are
a music video on
when I look at his with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Jay-Z. But when I look at those three movies, like how they're done and every piece of it, I think they're better done than even Seven. If you were to just judge it by his standalone and say, oh, well, he didn't have that supporting people around him, he hadn't found the right people yet, you could say Seven. But then again, at the same time, look at the cast.
Did some of the score for Seven.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Opening song is...
Oh, the song.
Well, he did some of the music also in the movie, too.
So I don't know. Like, for me, I would have to say, because, I mean, most of us are in that same age range, so I'm going to go back to Fight Club as being that one that's just been, that's my, I don't want to say my introduction to Fincher, but my really, that's where I started finding a passion for him, I guess the way to put it. As for best, I don't even know if I could honestly answer that question, because I think part of it is if I look at those ones, those are such good movies, but now I feel like he's got all the right cards in his hands, and he's playing them.
Oh yeah,
and he's playing them every time, and it's successful, and that's where I feel like he's hit a groove now, and like what's next is what I want to know. I guess the way to put it.
I want to see David Fincher do a comedy. That could be creepy.
Him and Scorsese. can they act in it together too? No, him directing with Scorsese acting in it. Like
there's one that he was rumored to be working on for like 4 years, and it kept getting dropped by the studios, and then getting stalled out, and then getting more people attached to it. And as far as I know, it's dead now. Like, I don't even think he's attached to it anymore. But there was a rumor going around, starting in, like, 08 up until recently, that he was going to be spearheading in one of the directors of a remake of Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
And that would have been the coolest thing.
They were going to do a live-action one with multiple directors. Is that what... Because
they were going to... First of all, they were thinking about doing it animated and live-action mixed together again. Yeah. Like, doing little vignettes again with different directors. And at one point... what's his name? Kevin Eastman, who's like the current owner and publisher of Heavy Metal, said like at one point in 2008, like it was quoted that Fincher was going to direct one, Del Toro was going to direct one, Snyder was going to direct one, and Verbinski was going to direct one.
Please
and
thank
since,
you.
It has since like fallen through. Last I knew that what's his name, Robert Rodriguez had bought up the rights to it and then was going to do it. And then he started his new TV network, El Rey. And since, as far as I know, it's
well,
dead
Rodriguez
now.
Had to fall out with the whole, cause Dimension Switch, like with the, what's their names? The Weinstein brothers. Wasn't there like some tension there?
He started that TV network, El Rey or whatever. And he has that TV show, like the Matador and all that stuff. And I think that's his focus now.
Rodriguez always cracks me up because it's like, hey, I'm going to make this, like way over the top rated R movie, And then I'm going to make a movie for my kids. All under the, was it the Troublemaker? What's the?
Troublemaker.
It Troublemaker. Is Troublemaker, yeah. All under my Troublemaker brand.
Shark Boy, so. Hey, that, the first, those first couple Spy
Shark
Kids
Boy
movies
and Lava Girl.
Pretty good movies.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm glad, actually, this is a great segue. to introduce
right
our project that we're going to be working on through most of 2015. Now, you brought it up with Heavy Metal, David Fincher, Fight Club. We're talking about all these things. So for 2015, Project Nerd has assembled a panel of experts to create the Pro Nerd 100. The Pro Nerd 100 is 100 must-see movies, and it's essentially the greatest movies, most fun movies. They could be crazy, whatever movies, but they're a panel of experts picking 100 movies that we think you must see. So not necessarily, I mean, we don't know what's going to end up on this list yet. Of course, all five of us are on this panel, so the Nerdcast team will be on the panel. And then we also have people like Mark Covino, the director, band called Death. We have Jeffrey Morris, who is the owner of Future Dude, the Future Dude brand, mm-hmm. Brainstorm Comics. He's also doing a sci-fi movie called, I don't say what it's called. I can't think of off the top of my head. Sorry.
is it based on his, on that?
The Ocean one is he's working on right now. He wants to do a Future Dude movie mm-hmm. or the Parallel Man movie, yeah. but they're not working on that yet. You have a we have our two representatives from the hit YouTube series. We'll call it hit YouTube series. Billy and Brandon watch movies. So yeah.
critically acclaimed YouTube
yes.
series. Billy and Brandon.
Brandon and Jared. Jared plays the evil villain in the show. So he's also on the editing side of things. And then you have the showrunner and the founding father of Incognito Cinema Warriors XP, Rick Wolf. Writer and reviewer for Cinema Blend and The Mary Sue, former writer for Project Nerd, Kendall Davis.
Woohoo!
And then, gosh, I feel like I'm leaving people. Oh, our former, previously a podcast that was previously syndicated on our network, the Karina and TC from the Epic Comicast.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Is that everybody? Am I getting everybody? I don't know who I'm missing. I feel like I'm missing one or two on there.
I'm trying to remember the list.
Ryan
We're still at it. Oh, Ryan Davis. Owner of Lost in Reviews
mm-hmm.
and entertainment was the entertainment manager at or events
director,
manager,
yeah.
events director, excuse me, at a the Alamo Draft House in Kansas City. And we do have a few more that will be added to the list, too, before we get to it. But essentially, mm-hmm. at this point in time, we have put out a ballot that says, okay, individually, you pick 100 must-see movies. That ballot is going to come back in from everybody in February sometime. And at that point, we'll pull the list together. We'll reseed the top 25. So then everybody will get that top 25 and say, okay, revote on these that have come in as top 25. So then we can order them based on everybody's vote on that. And then we'll also work out the tiebreakers on the back end of the list, because I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of like one votes or two votes that'll be kind of towards the back end of the list there on the 100 that we'll have to work out. And then, of course, we'll be putting together a whole new website at pronerd100.com. I think the URL points
sounds
to our website
like a NASCAR
right now.
Race.
It's a well, I wanted it to be PN100, but the URL wasn't available. So pronerd100 it is. But in August, actually, is when we'll be debuting, because we'll have video clips. We'll have short little write-ups, reviews, all these kinds of things for every single movie that's on the list. Exciting. I'm really excited about this project. I know
yeah.
you guys are too.
Oh, yeah.
So 100 must watch movies. Have you guys started on your ballot though?
Dude, it's super hard.
It's really hard.
Oh my gosh.
I have like the top, and I don't even know if
are you
the top
are you going
my...
straight to ranking them? Is that how you're doing it?
Well, so basically anything that I was like has to be on the list, I automatically just stuck at the top of the page.
Okay.
Like, certain movies, like obviously if you've met me before, like certain movies are top 10 guaranteed. Blade Runner is going to be in my top 10.
Yes.
Casablanca is
going to
be
at the
my
draft
top
house
10.
On Saturday. By
I
the
know,
way,
I know.
Oh my gosh,
I have to work, and I'm trying to figure out if I can actually go and see it. Because I mean, be fair, I own like 12 copies of the movie and the poster. And
you don't own it in 35 millimeter, though.
This is true. I don't. Which
maybe
do you know
he
cut
does.
They're doing?
Final.
It's the final cut. Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. If you go, let me know.
So like, Blade Runner obviously is top 10 for me. Casablanca top 10 for me. So I've got like.
Godfather.
10 or 15 movies on my list so
Godfather
far.
Too.
I couldn't start with the rank. Like, I just made a list of movies. So I went through all the movies I own, put things onto a list. Then I went through the IMDb top 250 through Rotten Tomatoes top 100 through Hollywood Reporter's top 100, like looked at all these top lists to make sure I wasn't missing stuff. I still need to scour through my DVDs because they're not on my app that has all my movies, so to see what I'm missing. And I've put together a list of, it's getting closer to 200 movies now. and they're not ranked. I'm just listing them.
Yeah.
And I'm breaking them down. I've put some genres in there. So like I have them, okay, these are comedy, these are, and surprising, as much as I love action movies, like at the end of the day, I'm not going to pretend those are the best movies. So that is actually my shortest list.
Are you doing them as best? See, I've been doing them as must see. So there's some in there that are poor movies, but you got to watch.
Well, I'm doing them as must see. But to be honest, like there's a handful of action I have. Like there's a good 20 or so that I have of action, but there's a lot of action that I've enjoyed that aren't must see because it's been done before.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, there's ones on my list, like, where I'm weeding down, like you said, like a genre. Like, for instance, like, there's a lot of, like, superhero movies, for instance, that I love. You don't need to see all of those because a lot of them are doing the same thing over again. Like, you don't need to see Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. You need to see Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. It's like that's on the list.
What about Howard the Duck?
So
you don't need to see, but
that's where I kind of also come in.
You need to see the Matrix.
List.
You don't need to see the Matrix Reloaded and the Matrix whatever, and then whatever other Hong Kongy things.
So the Matrix definitely, but then there's like some other things I've done too. Is I've also thought, okay, to start on my starter list because I know this may not make the 100. What are things that have changed something? So it's something as recently as The Interview. I put it on my starter list because. Is that a must-see because of what it's done this year, you know, like what it's caused?
Yeah.
And then movies like Avatar or The Avengers, you know, that have broke these records. And Avatar, to be honest, it's like, it's a must-see, but
is
it
a game changer?
It was a game changer in 3D. It was a game changer in 3D, though, Avatar was.
Is Titanic on your list then?
No, it's not. But like, Avatar was a game changer in 3D. The Avengers was a game changer because this is now a superhero movie that's breaking these numbers. Like, and it's like, and then like, which superhero movie do I put? Is it early? That's where those decisions become hard because like you said, it's which one? Is it like, is it early Batman? Because that's what started Batman being successful on the big screen. Or is it, but then you have to go back to the Superman movies that started before.
Superman
2.
Like, I feel so like the ones I have
see,
on
that's
my
where
list,
you're at. Like,
ones
where
on my
do
list
you start?
Are like Superman 2, Iron Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Dark Knight Returns.
Well, am I cheating? I just put the Dark Knight trilogy as one.
No, yeah, that's totally cheating because I have all three Star Wars on there, but they're all separate, and they're going to make the top 100. But
well,
they're
but
on
I
my list
like...
for sure.
So where'd you put Phantom Menace?
No, I'm sorry. The first three, as in the first three made episode four through six,
four, five, and six.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Star Wars, and then there's a lot that I added to my list where like they're going to be on there. But they don't necessarily merit like top 10 inclusion. Like The Fifth Element is written down. But,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's not going to be my top 10, but you got to see that movie.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It needs to be seen.
I watch that movie all the time.
Or like when you said good comedy, like what does one, like, because I've seen it, like Office Space is on
Young
my
Frankenstein.
List.
Office Space has to be on. Young Could Frankenstein
but Office
is,
Space.
Made my is making my 100 for sure.
See,
there's no
and Mel Brooks has like.
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing
that's
Saddles
the thing. You got Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein.
Right,
like,
so can I just put
you
on the Mel
history
Brooks
of
collection?
The world. You could do History of the World.
Come
possibly.
On, Bob. You're
no.
killing me.
Guilty. And I think
killing is
I know that obviously
I don't even have a I don't even have that on my see I need to add to my list right now.
I've got Holy Grail and Life of Brian.
And I have the Sandlot on Blu-ray. How did I miss
that
on my list?
You do that.
See,
so,
I had to debate there because I'm like, I know I'm not going to make, when I'm making this big list, there were some decisions there because I'm like, at the end of the day, I know I'm not going to put two Monty Python movies in the top 100. So it's hands down Holy Grail, and I'm already going to bold it because I already know it's going to make the 100.
Life of Brian.
I know, but it's my thought
always
too.
Always look
is
on
like,
the bright side of life, my
I
man.
Can't give. Well, Meaning of Life's not up there with those
meaning
two.
Meaning
of
Life
oh, funny.
Doesn't make the list for
it's
me.
It's funny, like, but yeah, it's not up there with those two.
And then I also like, and then there's certain directors, like you said, change things are out there. So, for instance, I really want to put, speaking of Monty Python, I want to put all of
12 Monkeys.
Terry Gilliam's movies.
I have half of his stuff.
I'm and I'm like,
gosh,
and I'm just like,
that's so good.
Terry Gilliam, and then, and
Darren Aronofsky.
No,
everything he does.
See, yeah, that's where I'm on the fence with some of those because I'm like, do I really want to depress people that bad?
You put Requiem for the Dream on there and just called it.
So that one's, but no, Aronofsky, and then of course Kubrick. Like, I felt like I listed everything Kubrick on my list.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is there is I feel like the majority of them are going
like
to make that top 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, even top 25. So I don't know.
And like someone like that, I've tried to like be like, all right, pick something that's like quintessentially like this is who they are. So like for Kubrick, it's like 2001
and The Shining.
Yeah,
and
with
then the
Doctor
Shining.
Strangelove and The Shining.
See, so, see I don't know. If I might leave Shining off and put Strangelove in its place because they're both on the list. Or actually, every Kubrick movie
you got
on the list.
That's my point.
But well, like for like Scorsese
Paths
and like
Glory.
Scorsese, I feel like I'm gonna do like Raging Bull, and like Goodfellas.
If you leave Goodfellas off,
Gangs of New York.
I have
Taxi Driver.
All four of those that were just listed are not only on my like top 200 right now, they're bolded, ready to go to the top 100.
And then it's so probably just Godfather 2.
So now you get one and two.
You gotta have one,
Bob. So Bob, we're talking. What are you? Some of your thoughts? What are some things you're doing? Are you putting your list together? You have any strategy?
I mean, I really am not. I really don't have a strategy. I'm just
darts at your shelf and seeing which ones.
I kind of knock.
He doesn't want.
He doesn't want to damage
the Blu-ray.
Shake the shelf and
whatever falls heads up. It's no. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm kind of going through my list, checking it twice, and just
finding out who's naughty and nice.
Pretty much.
Is V on your list yet?
Is what
V?
Oh yeah.
Okay, sure.
But I mean, unlike you guys, I'm not going to. I gotta have a Kubrick. I gotta have a Scorsese. I'm like I said, and I think I've made this in the past. I'm picking the movies that like I said that hit me in a certain way. You know, these are the kind of movies that.
Is Shawshank going to be your number one?
It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
What's some things? What is it fighting with for the top of that list? Is there a couple others that you want to share with us yet? Or are you going to
wait?
Not
yet.
Okay.
Not yet. But, I mean, Shawshank is...
I haven't ranked anything yet, so I can't even tell you, because I don't even know how...
Shawshank will be in my top 10.
Yeah.
I'm getting poo-pooed here. Schindler's List will probably be in my top 10.
How many Spielbergs? Because I feel like
Jurassic Park,
it doesn't matter.
You lose count. You lose count.
No, what I'm just saying, but because of like his obviously how prolific he is, but like the different, like he made so many movies that were genre defining, like E.T., Jurassic Park, Schindler's List,
all on my list.
Not Band of Brothers.
But for me, it doesn't matter.
Saving Private Ryan.
It doesn't matter. It's just, I mean, if I think that
Close
that,
Encounters,
if I think it's a film that, well,
and that's what he's saying. Even if it is, it's,
yeah, it's not about directors. It's not about.
But I think that's what Tyler's saying there with Spielberg.
Specifically about Spielberg. I'm saying that he's particularly just because of how many genres he defined between Jaws, E.T., mm-hmm. Jurassic Park. Like, he's going to get a bunch on there just because he made movies that defined
that
a genre for decades to come.
Exactly. And I feel like Kubrick's in that same venue.
He did sci-fi,
he did comedy, he did horror. I mean, he's just across, like, screw it, I'm going to do one of these movies, and it's going to be in the top 10 in that category of movies. Like, that's where all my movies live. So
yeah, I mean, you guys may be absolutely surprised what I come up with as a list.
The other problem I'm finding is I'm creating this list of my starter list, as I'm calling it. I think I was talking with Adam about it today. Yeah. I called it that. Is when I think of a type of movie, then I like put 10 more down. So like the best was, is I was like, oh, Field of Dreams and The Natural and Bull Durham and Sandlot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, I can't put 10 baseball movies on this list. Like I've got to have room for other stuff.
I ended up doing that with some sci-fi movies and with some comedies. The problem is I'm having is number one, trying to rank two movies in vastly different genres.
Oh yeah.
And trying to rank movies from totally different eras. So, like, we were talking about some of the ones in my movies. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time, one of the greatest movies of all time, and one of the movies that you have to see to understand, like, why movies got, like, it was a movie that movies, you know, imitated for the next, like, 50 years. It's like Casablanca.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But how do you, like, decide which is a better movie? Not better movie, but which do you decide between, like, and then another movie on mine that was genre-defining? Is like I'm trying to decide which one is higher, Casablanca or Blade Runner. Like, how the hell do you have that conversation with yourself? Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman, Black and White, Nazi Germany, or, you know, Ridley Scott, Harrison Ford, androids, and futuristic LA.
That's like, the thing, too. I think where it's going to, when I'm thinking about how am I going to rank these, I'm going to have to go down and say, okay, I'm looking at these movies.
Which would you watch?
What am I going to watch first?
Well, and the other thing is that after, you know, like with the way that we rank them, also I start playing like the politics game. It's like, well,
if I put this
too low, Casablanca is going to be on a lot of people's list.
Yeah,
so. Blade Runner, maybe not so much. So if I want it to get high enough, I got to put Blade Runner at number
one.
But I
think I'm looking at who we have as our panel. I think Blade Runner is going to be okay.
But I think I honestly think that if once we turn in that list, it cannot be changed.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Once the ballot is submitted, it's submitted.
Yeah.
There's no talking about, there's no nothing. And then I think the most favorable part of it, and I think what is going to do best for our list to give it an all-encompassing, like, feel is that we are going to revisit those top 25. And I think that's a good strategy because then you're not saying – This one,
we're gonna curate.
This one
little.
Got a first. This one got 2 first place votes. Although this one was, you know, on
every
everybody's
ballot,
ballots at 25. Then we need to kind of look at it again in the top 25 to make sure we say, okay, everybody's been picking this one. You know, we need to. So, you know, that's going to help that 25.
Who is
going
to be our accountant to add up these numbers?
I don't know. We're going to have to hire somebody for that because I'm already. It's going to be a big task.
That's why I studied mathematics.
That's why Excel exists.
No, we did it with the. You know, I did it with the top 10 in 2014, but this is going to be a much larger scale, for sure. And especially too in the ballots, it's asking for IMDb link and year because there are movies like great examples like The Sting I put on there. But how many movies are called The Sting? Like, there's more than one I know. But I'm talking everybody's favorite Robert Redford and, you know,
Paul Newman.
Yeah, she's not paying attention.
Everybody's looking at Aaron.
I also kind of want to put all of. Speaking of Casablanca, I mean, there's a really good chance that. Maltese Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
And Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Yeah. Makes it on
Sierra Madre is the one that I'm like, it's not quite bold yet, and I haven't decided if it's because I think I have 80 or so that are bolded, and I need 20.
They don't need any of them stinking badges, man.
I know, but I got Maltese Falcon and both Casablanca bolded. So, Aaron, have you started your list?
No, but I agree with Bob. I wouldn't just go with categories or directors or be political and like be like, I'm going to just pick the ones that I love. Period. I'm
okay,
gonna pick
good.
The top 100.
That's what we're asking for. We're not asking for you to attack anybody else's method. Just what do you
there
have?
There was no hard.
Were you implying that
there was
method.
No there was no hard and fast criteria.
I was just
talked about
with Bob. No,
you were
saying,
taking Bob and going a little bit farther.
Well, whatever. You guys are just being real defensive. Sassy,
no, I think and pants. I think it was definitely misunderstood because I understand what Tyler was saying. It's not that I have to pick one of Spielberg's, but it's like. Holy
just
crap,
by,
how many is Spielberg
of,
making because of, and at the same time I'm thinking, I don't want 10 war movies on here and leaving off another genre that's important.
You guys were very elaborate in your explanations of that. And I think that with me is that I just don't love movies as much as you guys. Like, I'm sorry, but I have to explain it.
She lies about being a movie snob. The rest of us have accepted our
like,
no.
She's like, well,
I'm
not going to worry about this
snob,
or worry about
period.
That. But every single one of his movies is going to be on the list.
Tom Hardy?
No.
Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson.
Obviously.
Every
no,
single
I,
one of them.
I would
top
probably
10.
Say.
What did Wes Anderson
and Tom Hardy, though.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I was just going to explain myself as a movie snob. You know that movie Ratatouille? Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah.
You know?
No.
It's a Pixar film.
Pixar Disney movie?
But there's this
like
moment.
Did that, was that a big studio release or was it independent?
Did you even see that in the theater?
Was that animated?
Right.
Part of the reason why I love that movie so much is because I love the cooking and stuff. And there was the food critic on there who said, I don't hate food because, you know, he said something like, well, how could a food critic be so skinny? And he says, if I don't love it, I spit it out. And that's how I feel about movies. If I don't love it, and I don't love
if
that
she doesn't
many movies.
Love it, she craps on all of us. Is what
I, see, and I guess, you know, I feel the
I'm
same
not
way.
I'm not a big, movie buff, though. I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's okay. But, I mean, there are probably 200 movies that I love.
Yeah. No,
and see, that's where I'm getting at. I don't have. I'm gonna have a harder time finding 100 movies that I care about enough.
You say that now, but
I don't think so. Surprised.
But also, as a,
I know myself too well.
It's not even so much as a movie snob, but as a movie lover, you really quickly learn to like. I don't love this movie, but I appreciate it for what it is.
I respect
and
that.
This is something
cinema.
That
I can
someone.
Respect it, but
this
I'm
is
still
something
not
that
a movie
everyone
lover.
In their life needs to see.
Well, that's the thing about making a must see. Are you approaching? And that's the thing why we kept it vague. We really wanted to see how people would approach it, and with people approaching it differently, it can make that list a lot more. I think
it'll be interesting.
Awesome. I think it can make it a lot more. A lot more stuff can show up than what it is, and just saying these are the best or these are, you know. But by saying it's must watch, there's the possibility for somebody to just go down a ballot and say, this is everything that I love.
Oh, the
especially,
and then there's somebody who can go down
like,
and say, no, somebody needs to watch Sallow 120 days. You know, like somebody needs to watch that because it's like the fact that it made it on.
You need to sit down and watch Antichrist.
Yeah, like if somebody's saying that.
By God, you got to watch it.
Because
someone needs to see it.
But I'm saying like how
or,
many
I mean,
of those.
Not to go that far. Go, you need to.
The FP.
Everyone needs to see.
The FP is on my starter list.
Everyone needs to see. What's something else dark? Everyone needs to see.
We brought up Aronofsky.
Everyone needs to see.
Requiem for a Dream.
Everyone needs to see Requiem for a Dream.
Like,
all right, I'm going
to
start my list right now. I'm going to start it.
But what was the other one I was going to say? And then there's a lot of those movies, like you say, like they changed cinema. And you don't have to appreciate it or like it. Because I think the one that always be like film like critics or film historians always go to is Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
Like Birth of a Nation is a movie that redefined what a movie could be. But it's this just god-awful two-hour white power supremacist racist just clusterfuck. But it changed cinema. Like it, like this was a movie that completely changed all of
Does
cinema.
It count if Cluster was in front of it? I don't
yes.
know.
I think you said it really fast.
That's the other what thing, too. Mind? Like, Citizen Kane, like, I think the world has accepted the fact this is kind of boring. But it's like,
right.
but it changed.
But you should watch this.
That's
movie
the same thing.
Sure.
Like, it's the same thing. I know if I sit somebody down to watch Metropolis, Blade Runner, and The Matrix, a younger generation right now, what are they probably going to lean towards more times than not? At the same time, Metropolis.
Every
Metropolis established
sci-fi,
ever,
maybe.
27?
And then Blade Runner said, "No, this is what we can do with it." And then the Matrix. So to me, like I see as all three of those is like these are must-see movies. Whether you love silent film or you can't, like if you can't stand silent film, which I've had people tell me, like, "Well, oh, I can't yeah. stand that." I don't. You still need to watch Metropolis because there is no Blade Runner. There is no The Matrix. There is no anything.
Films. I got to go back and like.
Oh, it's tough.
Like Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, you got to make
the Great
the
Dictator
yeah.
and
yeah.
Modern Times. Oh, Modern Times gosh. Has to be on the list. Like Modern Times.
Buster
without
Keaton.
A doubt. Yeah, I. Yeah, I'm less. I'm more on.
But see,
Chaplin.
At the same time, as you go back some of those old movies, and as long as you can get people to get past some of them, like Citizen Kane, like not everyone who's not a giant, huge movie buff historian is gonna. Sit and understand
sit and
like what's
it, yeah.
what it is about what you're seeing that's game changing. But there's another at the same time, I don't care who you are, unless you were just a heartless, terrible human being, no one's gonna sit down as long as they're willing to invest the time and it's black and white, fine. No one sits down and watches Casablanca and when it's over it's like well that wasn't any good. Everyone likes Casablanca. You can't not
I need
like
to tell
that
you
movie.
A story about that after we get off the
Someone
microphone.
Didn't like Casablanca
and you'll laugh at who it is too.
Is it her?
No. No. Oh,
okay.
Did you just point a finger at me? Was that
yeah.
her?
All right. So we've got to wrap this episode. Definitely if you got questions about the ProNerd 100, there'd be a lot more information coming out, but you're definitely welcome to send them to us. Of course, give us your opinion. Spoiler free in the comments on Gone Girl. Because this episode does air before the DVD Blu-ray release next week. And then any feedback on Scarlett Johansson, we really kept it to pretty much three major topics. Or, no, better yet, your favorite.
David Fincher.
Your favorite.
Favorite and best.
And best oh. David Fincher film. We'd love to hear from you. I think it's obvious this episode's going to be titled Gone Girl or something along. What's in the box, maybe. That's
what's,
what
in
we'll
the box?
What's in the box?
So, what's in the episode?
What's in the box?
What's, with that, we will close episode 14. Iggy here for the Nerdcast crew signing out. We'll catch you next week.
Bye, kids.